We can't order fast food at the moment, but contact-free delivery in Australia means the Aussies are spending three times more on online food delivery than before the pandemic. And RNZ recently reported on analysis of data from Uber Eats and found that people aged 15 to 34 consume takeaways the most. Some fast foods, of course, likely to be more nutritious than other fast food. University of Sydney research found that unhealthier menu items were more than twice as likely to be categorised as most popular than healthier options on Uber Eats. So if you frown on fast food, we've been given a short reprieve from it, and there are healthy substitutes at home coming up with Vanessa Baxter. An ancient fast food restaurant in Pompeii is now open to the public. They would have called it the Thermopolium. It was quite a fixture in Pompeii before the eruption. On the outside are frescoes that describe the dining experience. They've survived 2,000 years. The rich people ate at home. They had servants. The rest of the Pompeians couldn't afford kitchens so much, so they often ate out. Block your ears if you're squeamish. The most popular fast food on the menu was honey-roasted rodents raised in jars. Vanessa Baxter joins us from the Fearless Kitchen. Morena, Vanessa. Vanessa, are you surviving lockdown okay? Are you busy in your kitchen?
I'm okay, thank you, Jim. I am solo in my kitchen, so I can't say I've been gone back into that baking mode of the last lockdown in 2020, but I am cooking fast and furious food for myself.
Fast and furious food, okay. speaking of the Romans and what they did, I mean, aside from the honey roasted rats, what do you think of honey roasted rats, by the way?
Oh, that just fills me with absolute horror. The whole idea of eating a rodent that came from being preserved in a jar or even, I think, did they actually raise them in jars? Horrifying.
Is that even possible? I don't know, but that's one account.
I think they definitely preserved them in jars and along with their dried and salted fish, you know, which is still a specialty, of course, in Italy, the bacala, which is amazing, and baked cheese. Which no doubt ultimately became that beautiful Italian rich ricotta cheesecake that we all love, drizzled with honey. The spicy wine is another thing that they had in the fast food outlets of Pompeii. And it was quite salty, actually, because it was quite unpalatable. They have referred to it being like licking the floor of a tiled kitchen, which sounds absolutely grotesque. And it was so bitter, apparently, that they mixed it. The locals would mix it with seawater to make it more palatable. But they also cited that maybe this was to try to stop the sort of the masses of humanity drinking this wine from turning into an unruly, loutish public.
Well, fast food's what we're going to be talking about. And maybe in the next few days, you know, if people have young people in their bubble, could be the time to introduce them to better fast food, Vanessa.
My fear is that this sort of prevalence of fast food, you know, the unintentional consequence of relying on being able to buy your food quickly or pre-prepared all the time is a total lack of understanding of how to actually prep for a meal. So there's going to be these entire generations of kids coming through thinking that everything is just available on an app and can be delivered to your door via Uber. But it also means that they're quite further distanced from A, where food comes from, how it's grown, but even just how to shop, prep and cook a meal. And it doesn't have to be a laborious task.
The University of Sydney found basically that the less nutritious fast food is, the greater the visual appeal in the ads. Mm. Do you agree the food never always looks as good as it does on the telly?
I do agree, Jim. I mean, you can definitely be tempted, can't you, by those mouth-watering ads or the billboards that look so fabulous. You know, the hamburger that just has that gorgeous oozy cheese or a pizza that looks like it's piled with deliciously just grilled chorizo sausage. And then it arrives or you've purchased it at a drive-thru and you look at what has actually appeared on your plate and, you know, it's quite a different item.
They spend a long time on those photo shoots. Mind you, the fancy cookbooks do the same, don't they?
Yeah, it's all about food styling and visual appeal and excellent photography. And of course, in the digital age, that ability to be able to manipulate the photo later. You know, people are careful in how they're creating the food. It is what it says it is, and it must be to meet advertising standards. But there are still tips and tricks and plays of light and ways of presenting the food, which means that what happens in the kitchen at a fast food outlet is very different to what is done by the food stylist and the photographer who are putting together an ad campaign.
The trouble with fast food, the trouble with trying to convert people is that when you start talking about hummus and brown rice and quinoa, you're probably preaching to the converted a lot of the time, and the mental earplugs get put in. So what can you suggest for fast food that has goodness and will also get everyone coming to the kitchen when you call?
Yes. Fast food, you know, that we purchase is filling and inexpensive for all the wrong reasons, you know, and it is missing that real nutrient density that we need to be able to function and be healthy individuals. So the idea for me is if you're trying to put together a meal at home that everyone's going to be happy with, there are lots of little tips and tricks that you can also do at home and keep people excited and get kids into the kitchen to help you, which is perfect during lockdown. So we've been having a lot of meatballs in my house, and it doesn't sound that exciting, but there's a lot you can actually do. You can use different types of meats, of course. You can have chicken meatballs or pork or beef, and you can change around all the different flavours and combinations. You can have an Asian-style one or Italian-style ones. And then, of course, manipulate the sauces that you're going to put with them. You know, make a gorgeous fresh tomato sauce from tinned tomatoes is absolutely fine, but you're making it from scratch. So you're really clear about what ingredients are going into your meal. You know, you can sneak some grated veggies into some of these mixes as well without anyone even knowing they're there.
You know, the meatballs, they are also a fast food on offer, and we assume there's a decent amount of nutrition in them. What's the difference between yours and the ones that can arrive by Uber then?
The thing is, when you're making your own food, you can pick the quality of the ingredients that you're using, and you're very clear about what's going into your mix. You can be very clear about your quality of your meat. So, you know, you can choose a leaner meat. And the flip side of that is, how do I then make sure that I don't have a really dry, inedible meatball? The way to combat that, rather than adding extra fat, is to maybe grate in a juicy sort of type of vegetable like a carrot or zucchini, which adds in that really fabulous moisture content, but doesn't mean that you're using a higher fat meat. The other thing is, Jim, with all food that we purchase outside of the home, especially fast food, it is high in fat, it is high in salt and sugar, because that is what is tasty. You know, that's what gives us that addictive feel to want to buy it again and again and again. And unfortunately, it also encourages us to eat more. Whereas at home, you can really take control of how much salt you're adding in. Does it need a teaspoon of sugar in the mix? No, it does not. And you can add lots of dried herbs and things rather than adding excess seasoning in the form of salt. And also, it's just changing your palate a little bit away from the reliance of some of those additives that you become used to if you're consistently eating pre-prepared food.
Okay, before we get to your hamburger and your pizza, let's say you do crumbed chicken pieces with fries, which is a classical kind of fast food offering. I mean, how much nutrition emerges from the oven when it's done at home?
So if you crumb some chicken and pop it into the oven, and maybe with some potato and kumara fries that you've chopped up at home yourself and popped in to bake as well, you've got a load of protein going on. You've got oven bake, fry alternatives, which are a much healthier version than, you know, deep fried French fries. And you could add to that as well, maybe some coleslaw or some nice salad. And then you're getting not only a massive mix of vegetables, a great hit of protein, you're sort of selling it as this is our home version of fast food, but it's just so much healthier. It's lower in calories, it's lower in fat and salt, and you're adding in all the extra components. You know, the problem is if we go to KFC and purchase chicken and chips or chicken and potato, it tends to be you fill up on that. And the nutritional value of that is so low. And you're full, so you're not going to turn around and eat vegetables or salad or a piece of fruit. And that's, you know, it's all about the balance.
Can you give us your Vanessa burger, please?
So I've had a really good think about this before talking to you today. And I think, you know, the ultimate burger is making your own burger patty. And the biggest, most important thing I can say to listeners is if you are buying your mince, you can go and buy, you know, a good lean mince at the supermarket or a hamburger mince, that's fine. Or you can buy a cut and mince it yourself, like a chuck steak cut and then mince it up yourself to be even more starting from ground zero, so to speak, to make your patty. Just try not to overhandle the mince. So that's the biggest flaw, I guess, in trying to make your own hamburger meat is people manipulate the meat too much and sort of pushing it together and pushing it down, especially if you've got kids in the kitchen. So just say to the kids, you know, pull a bundle of the mince together and form a patty with the least amount of hand action as possible and see, you know, what they can create. And even if it's a bit wonky to look at, you are going to have the juiciest burger that way. So that's my top tip. And then you can just shallow fry it and finish it off in the oven if it's really thick, or just literally shallow fry your meat patty. And the simpler the better. You know, just a simple mince with some salt and pepper is fine, and maybe some thyme or something like that. Otherwise, if you'd like to and you've got kids who are averse to vegetables, of course you can grate some vegetables into that patty as well and create it with a little bit more bulk. And then it's about getting a really good bun. So if you can find a good wholemeal bun for the family, then that's going to be better than your white bun. But you could grill off some vegetables and then pile those in there as well. Or just keep it super simple with a slice of tomato, the Kiwi favourite, some beetroot, and some lovely grilled non-pre-sliced cheese. So if you can kind of go back to the basics and grate your own cheese or slice your own cheese and make your own burger patty, then you're going to have a really great meal in a bun that's filling, that's been fun to put together as a family, and is more nutritious.
Vanessa's recipes are on our website if you've forgotten aspects of what she's been talking about. And before we go, your pizza.
Well, pizza's a fun one. I love to make my own pizza dough and then pile on my favourite ingredients. The other option is you could do it on flatbread or on a wrap. So if you've got some wraps hanging around in the freezer, you might have thrown them into the freezer after lockdown happened and you were used to making your kids' wraps for school, then you can actually use that base and put some ingredients on it, pop it into the oven for 5 minutes, let the cheese melt and the tomatoes caramelize a little bit, and you've got a really quick and easy lunch that the kids can actually put together themselves, enjoy eating. The thing I want to say about all of this, though, Jim, is these are all foods that are special treat foods. I'm not suggesting that people live on pizzas, burgers, and chicken and chips on a daily basis. These are kind of like your alternates to fast food. They're your healthy at-home versions. But if we all sort of had burgers every single day for dinner, it's probably not ideal either.
All understood and duly noted. For a moment, I thought you said if you've got rats hanging around in the freezer. But no, it was wraps. So I'm relieved.
It's wraps. I have not gone back to Pompeii.
Hey, lovely to talk to you, and thank you for those, and thank you for your advice and your time.
Thanks, Jim.
Vanessa Baxter.